You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker, Kev Gay West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Kev Gay West.
Hey.
Kev Gay, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah, you ready to do this tonight?
Yeah, I'm pretty caught up on the current events, even some stuff that happened earlier tonight before the show.
Nice. Also joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have Christian from Philly. Swami. What's going on, Swami?
Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Did you say something?
Guys,
yeah,
can you hear me?
We hear you, bro. We hear you.
Hear
just
you, buddy.
Fine.
Well, hold on. I gotta go to another phone line. Hold on. I'll call back in a minute. Hold on.
All right. Call back in a minute. All right, Christian is calling back, and Albert Infected, no show. I don't know. Let me check here to see what's going on. Hopefully he's okay. I don't see anything here, and hopefully we wish him the best. We certainly hope that everything is fine wherever he's at right now. But man, we had another interesting week of wrestling. And by the way, breaking news: we were talking about Don West last week, and apparently he's announced that he's been diagnosed with brain lymphoma. So we certainly wish him the best in his recovery. Yeah, we wish him the best on his recovery, man. He was definitely something else on the microphone, and I'm watching some of those episodes now. And it's definitely something else to hear that guy. But we wish him the best on his in his recovery. Holy shit! And also, let's see here. More breaking news. Apparently, Samoa Joe
is
back in the WWE. And like that, it happened. How about that?
It happened.
Joining us again. So, what can you tell us about this, bud?
Well, it just happened right now, tonight, on NXT. Samoa Joe came back. Although, people speculated that he was supposed to be the new general manager of NXT, that wasn't the case. He's going to be the aide of William Regal. So that's he's basically going to be like Stone Cold Steve Austin when he was the co-general manager of Raw, in which he cannot physically attack people unless he's provoked. So he's playing the Stone Cold Steve Austin role.
Awesome. Interesting.
It's gonna be awesome.
Is that Thunder? Was that Thunder?
I saw the promo Regal cut. It's one of the best promos of the year. It made the Karrion Kross guy look pretty cool too. He usually looks kind of corny to me, but he looked pretty cool in that promo too. I need to go back and watch some episodes of NXT. I've been meaning to.
Man, and I really meant to watch it tonight. And totally forgot all about it. But then I was doing other things, some editing and shit. And, so
nothing
it took
really
my
happened.
Mind off of it. But
nothing
promo
really happened
for it
that you
looked
missed.
Really good, though. The promo for it looked really good. And I was anxious to see it, to watch it. And then I completely dropped the ball. I forgot about it. But I digress.
LA Knight attacks Ted DiBiase anyway. So that match was pointless. He already turned on Ted DiBiase. And he's the million-dollar champion.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah, also some news going around. CJ Perry, which is Lana, apparently preparing to, quote-unquote, spill the tea here soon. So I'm looking forward to this. You don't know anything could happen. I mean, she could say anything. And it could be, it could also be a work. Who the hell knows?
How could it be a work? She's fired.
She's not necessarily fired, but I mean,
she got let go. She's gone.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, so did
Samoa Joe was fired.
Yeah.
I was going to say
but they rehired him because they had more sense, all right? They're not going to rehire Lana, all right?
You don't know that.
It could be like any of the people that just got fired, Braun, like all these people that just got let go, like essentially they could show up in NXT too. But
I think they're
going to
rehire Aleister Black. That's about it.
Yeah. Aleister,
we'll see how that develops.
Interview of sorts.
Yeah. We'll see how that develops. But, yeah, it's interesting. And I'm looking forward to hearing from Lana. I got to hear what she has to say. I mean, it could be really juicy. Or it could just be, you know, something like, you know, well, I actually had a great time working there. And, you know,
yeah.
I just want to
stop
it.
Well, not Lana. I'm sorry. Not Lana. Fuck Eva Marie.
Oh. Eva Marie? You know what? Let's go ahead and get this on. Let's move on.
Yeah, because I'm not waiting for WWE Report to just completely destroy this shit. I want to destroy this shit right now.
Stop it. We're not going to do a WWE Report.
All right, that's fine, but I want to destroy
Eva
this
Eva Marie,
shit.
Though, is Eva Marie best for business? I mean, I have
Fuck
that on
no,
tap for
this
week.
No, she's not best for business.
Apparently, WWE thinks so, and let me tell you something. I watched this with great intent. Great intent. They fucking said it was going to happen, and I was like, holy shit, I got to go take a piss. I got to go grab a drink. I got to get ready. And you know, at my age, you know, you got to do these things. And so anyway, so I got ready, boom, boom, during the commercial, and then sure enough, she came out, and I was like, oh, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is it's I think this is her third 15 minutes of fame, as I'm going to call it. Her third go round at the 15 minutes of fame, I think. And I mean, it did nothing for me. Now, apparently, they're introducing a new wrestler to the fold. And so this is what they were talking about when they were saying that, you know, she could possibly be a manager. Guys, what do we know about this new character that was brought in by Lana, or I'm sorry, by Eva Marie last night, Watchdog?
Her name is Piper Nevin. She was in NXT UK, and she was in the Mae Young Classics tournament. She's been wrestling. Mm-hmm. And this is fucking garbage. No offense to Piper Nevin. She's a great athlete. I have nothing against the poor sweetheart. But this whole fucking thing was utter fucking garbage. They false advertised that they said Eva Marie was going to compete against Naomi, and that didn't fucking happen. We have been bombarded by fucking internet reports all month long. I have the papers right here in front of me all month long that this bitch was training, right? She obviously, even with training, she's not good enough. Because I have in my fucking papers that she was bad during fucking tapings. She was bad. So, this is all fucking bullshit. This was horse shit. That means she's still not fucking good to compete. She's still not good as a fucking wrestler. And guess what? You can't even count as a manager because they said she still won. And your winner is Eva Marie. And you know what's worse? Not even 24 hours, I feel bad and I hate this. Not even 24 hours later, people are fat shaming this poor girl online.
Oh, God, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not fucking kidding you. Hours even. On Twitter, they're already fat shaming this poor sweetheart.
I was just about to say, you know, and we need big women and, you know, large women and stuff in the business. It's only real. We need some more, you know, it's, I mean, it's... You know, there are large women. So, yeah, you know, I mean, look at Kong, Awesome Kong and shit. And, I mean, I don't know what her how her character is. I've never seen her, if she has any character or what.
She doesn't have a character yet.
But, I mean, you know, I was like,
this is
man.
Bullshit. This is a failure. This was a complete
Let's
and utter failure.
Let's check out what Kenny has to say about this.
No, it's going to be funny, I think. I think it's going to be a big storyline for sure. It's going to end up being like a... It's like the title picture, or like eventually, like definitely this chick turning on Eva. I don't think they're gonna book Eva Strong. I think they might just use her for a comedy role and like pretty face for posters and stuff like that. I hate to say.
Did they give to you? Did it come off as a comedy role?
No.
It's a squash match, dude. Like the chick totally squashed Naomi, which was kind of crazy. But I mean. So, I mean, if she's going to be a monster heel, then she's going to essentially clash with Nia. She's going to clash with all those chicks. I mean, so
actually, she's not a
chick
monster
is gonna get
heel.
Pushed
she's
hard.
Not because she's acting like a young student or
a
something.
A baby
like,
face, yeah. She's like giggling.
Yeah, well, she's not even
she's
that.
Doing.
What is this fucking gimmick?
Yeah.
Kind of like a Chad Gable type of deal, but amplified.
She just works for Eva, I guess. It's weird.
Kevier, is Eva Marie best for business, though? I mean, like, does she have that many eyes on her? Here we are talking about it.
After all. I mean, we're talking about it, and we've been talking about it. They've been promoting it for, like, 6 weeks or something. So I think that they're going to push it harder than what we see now. I think we're about to see a lot more of these two on TV for sure.
It's one of those things. Yeah, it is. You're right.
I don't hate Eva. I watched, like, the first wave of Total Divas and stuff. And, you know, it's trash TV, like, just reality TV or whatever. But the chick is entertaining, and she can be entertaining as a wrestler. Like I said before, she's just the most knockout bombshell of a lot of chicks they've had in a long time. So if they do teach her how to be in the business, then she'll succeed. That's really what it boils down to. She looks great in the ring. So
she had a chance, she blew it, and now she's having this another chance, and she's blowing it already.
Well, I'm skeptic, you know, because I'm always
nobody likes
some shit like this.
You should see the hate on Twitter on this fucking shit.
It's not like a sexist thing to say, like, well, she looks good, so push her. They do that with dudes all the time in wrestling, and they do it with women too, you know. So I saw earlier that they copyrighted a name, Kristen. Did you see that? They copyrighted this name, JC Jane. Somebody shared a thread about this, but that's like a play on like a porn star name, right? JC Lane, I think, was, and it's like a song by the Bloodhound Gang. Stacey Lane.
I know.
I forget what it is. So is WWE going to have like a porn star character soon? Is that what they're
alluding? I don't know.
But
I do know this. Weird. I hate the fact that the commentators have to pretend like they don't know who this woman is, even though we all know that this woman competed in a fucking Mae Young Classic and she's in NXT UK. I hate that.
Yeah, I recognized her right away. Yeah,
I hate them.
She's cool.
Hate
she was
them.
Cool in the Classic,
hate
too.
Them.
Don't start that again.
Yeah, man. You know, we'll just have to wait and see how it develops, because there's certain things that happen that, you know, I don't like in the beginning, and then I grow to like them. For example, I'm just going to come clean right now with a Minister of Sinister's confessional. I should give a little jingle for that. But I don't have one. But anyway, you know, I'm starting to like this whole Alexa Bliss thing.
No, dude, please no.
I am.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to like it.
Dude, it's stupid.
It's just, you know, it's just one of those things that it builds up, and then it builds. Yeah. Finally, it builds up to something that I can get, I can grasp, I can captivate. Can you?
Dude, it's
Alexa,
stupid. It's a horrible gimmick. Nobody fucking likes
it. She was. She was good in the ring, dude. Her new kind of style in the ring she's showing is like she's playing the character in the ring. It's cool. I'm all
that's
for
gonna
that.
Get
like,
fucking old real quick.
Maybe.
Christian.
She was doing
that
like,
was the worst DDT
different.
She ever did with Nia. That was horrible. That DDT was horrible.
Ultimate pessimist.
The DDT
the
was bad.
Pessimist.
That's what I told my wife too. That like Nia just sells like a bag of rocks. Kind of. She just like she like fell down from that. That DDT was really bad.
Yeah, man. But so apparently the match has been added.
Yeah.
I like Lily is not even scary. She's kind of cute.
So it's been
was
added.
Is that me?
Yeah.
I like Lily is not even scary. She's kind of cute.
Oh, is that Naya? That's Naya.
Yeah, so apparently the match has been added for Hell in a Cell, and we're going to get all up in that later
match.
In the end of the show. We're gonna talk about
a know-nothing match that nobody's going to give a fuck about.
Here's how we're going to do it. We're not going to do a WWE report. What we're going to do tonight instead is when we get – when we do the matches, we're going to talk about the build up to the matches, and then we're going to do our pick. So,
okay, good.
Yeah,
good,
so it'll be cool. And so,
because ladies and gentlemen, spoiler alert: all the build ups have been fucking garbage.
No, stop it. Pessimist, the ultimate pessimist. So anyway, moving on with the show.
The only decent build-up was Bayley versus Bianca. The rest have been fucking trash.
And that's another one that I'm really, really digging even more is Bayley, but we'll get to that in a little while. Last week, in error, I called out birthdays that were for this week, but we'll say it again, Scott Norton, Brad Armstrong, and Chuck Palumbo. But more importantly, Bayley is now in the fold. Happy birthday, Bayley. And also, 713, you are live on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Hello.
Sounds like Albert.
Hello?
Albert and Spencer, 713. Welcome to the Shizzle.
Oh, my God. You know what, guys? Let me tell you something. Me and Teresa are in the middle of Chinatown. It's pouring rain. My phone is completely fucking shattered to pieces. And it's the worst fucking day ever. But, yeah, hey, you know what? It's doing pretty good. And I'm calling from the hotel. I have to call from the hotel, and they're charging Teresa over here $1 a minute. So.
Oh,
they really
my God.
Get out of here. What's that?
You better hang up.
Hey, but you know what? I called y'all. Listen to this. I called y'all before I called my own parents, so that's going to count for something, right?
Oh, my God. It counts for everything. And are you here for the show?
Yeah. Well, I'm here to say what's up, and then I can't do the show while I'm on the show.
So he's here to say what's up, and then he can't do the show. Okay, good.
I can't do the show while I'm on the show, but I can make a quick comment about something. So what are we talking about?
We were talking about Alexa Bliss and the match, and then Eva Marie. But let's talk Alexa Bliss. I want to hear your thoughts about the whole Eva Marie fucking bullshit debut.
Well, you know what? I didn't see the
debut. I like Lily is not even scary. She's kind of cute.
No. I didn't see the debut because I didn't watch Monday Night Raw last night. We were too busy packing, and I was trying to get the vehicle in order. We're over here, like I said, we're over here because
you're
in Houston.
Houston.
I'm in the hometown of Kevin and Chuck over here. But no, so I didn't watch Raw last night, and so I'm disappointed.
You came in today?
I just a few minutes ago.
Wow! Yeah. Wow! Interesting.
And get this too. Get this. My ID. I left my ID in San Antonio at the Metro PCS when I was trying to get a new phone earlier. And they were trying to see if I qualified for a finance phone. We were already running late, so I stormed out of there and left my fucking ID there. So I have no ID, no phone, and I'm in the middle of Chinatown, Houston, Texas, and it feels good.
Yeah.
But you know what? We went to the store next door and we got some sake, so we're gonna be sake drunk here in a little bit. But
nice.
Anyway, fuck.
I'm
fuck
not
Eva
too
Marie.
Far from you, dude. I'm not too far from you.
He said, "Fuck you."
Yeah.
But I digress.
Well, Chuck, I'll text you guys as soon as I get my phone on. Hopefully, sometime in the morning. Cause I don't think there's a place to fix a phone that's open this late. So
yeah,
I'm gonna go first thing in the morning, get my phone fixed up, and then I'll text you guys what's up. But I'm actually going back to San Antonio on Thursday, and I'll be back after Fiesta. So.
Okie doke.
Cool deal, man. We all be safe. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. It's pouring rain too. We're like fucking running with shit and rain. It's just horrible. But it's fun. It's a fun story, and it's gonna be fun later. So.
Yeah, and it's another moment in history between you and your better half there, Teresa. I mean.
Yeah.
So
it's gonna be great, man.
Ladies and gentlemen,
show, guys. Sorry, I can't make it. Like I said, they're charging us. I don't know how much a minute. I think it's like over $1 a minute to make this long.
It's $28 a minute.
Later, brother.
Oh yeah. Well, we better get those advertisements.
All right. How about that? He fucking calls in even when he's here. He's in town. He's in town. But unfortunately, we have a show to do, and he has to get unpacked and settled in his hotel. And I'm sure that I will be running into him tomorrow at some point or something. But I digress. Where were we?
We were talking about general stuff. We were talking about Alexa. Yeah. We were talking about Eva. We covered that.
Yeah, we were doing birthdays. And it's Bailey's birthday again. Once again, it was her birthday last week. It's her birthday today. Today is her birthday. Let's see here. Tomorrow would have been Ultimate Warrior's birthday. Let's see. June 16th, the Sandman. He's still alive,
oh,
right?
Nice.
Yeah, or
Sandman.
You
want to
call him
Havoc. Havoc, yeah.
WCW.
So, Havoc, there you go. And June 16, which is tomorrow also, Rezar from AOP. Remember those guys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They AOP. Never got a chance. They never had a chance.
I do like
that.
Man, they got a badass fucking theme.
Here's the thing. Remember when they joined Seth Rollins' faction, right?
Yeah.
But for some reason, they booked Seth and Buddy to win the tag titles. Why didn't they had AOP win the tag titles? What do you think that, like?
It's something they always do, man. They can't put anybody else over except for the top stars.
Yeah, but Buddy Murphy wasn't a top star. Why did he get...
Seth Rollins?
Yeah, Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. Why did Buddy Murphy get the chance but not AOP?
Well, maybe there was too many. I don't know. Who knows, man? But, yeah, you're right. They never did get a fair shake. And then one of them got injured, and then that was it for them. And so, but, yeah, let's see here. Also, Jungle Boy today. Jungle Boy, you guys remember that guy?
Yeah, he's fighting.
He's got a big match coming up, man.
He's gonna lose.
June 18 would have been one of my favorites, Ultimate Legend, Bruiser Brody. 1946, darn, he would have been 76 or some shit. Wow. Big Vito, June 18. And also tonight he made the news for some sad news, but Don West. With a birthday coming up June 20th.
Oh, really?
So definitely keep him in your prayers and your thoughts.
What's wrong with Don West?
Don West has announced that he's
brain cancer.
Brain cancer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we talked about that, I guess, while you were fumbling around. But,
my phone
it's unfortunate.
Was up. I had to do my home phone.
It's unfortunate, bro. Let's see here. June 20th, also Coco Beware. And that's it for birthdays this week. So, moving on with the show. Oh, yeah.
Tied to birthdays real quick. I just happened to see this, but today is the anniversary of the Sensational Sherry's death, actually.
Oh,
Sherry Martel. Yeah.
forget how many years ago. It's something like 20th anniversary of her death or something like that. Maybe longer.
Wow. Yeah, I remember
her. She was cool.
She was. Sherry Martel. I think she did stuff here on... No, wait. Was she ever on WCCW?
No.
Or just... No, just on...
She was
in WCW.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there
you go. Managed Harlem Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there you go. There you go. Moving on. So, yeah, certainly, you know, that's a sad thing there with her. So, yeah, moving on. Let's see. 23 years ago. Raw is War from San Antonio, Texas. San Antonio. It was Kane and Mankind. They fought Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker to a no contest in a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
Now, this is the first time that a Hell in a Cell was presented on broadcast television.
That's
and it's
because...
also only the second one ever. It's also the first ever tag team Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be another one until 2006, albeit it was a 2-on-3 handicap match. The next 2-on-2 Hell in a Cell match didn't happen until October 2009. Christian from Philly?
Well, the reason why they had the tag match was because this was the build-up between Undertaker versus Mankind in Hell in a Cell and Kane versus Stone Cold Steve Austin in a Hell in a Cell match. So both of them were fighting their opponents in their respective Hell in a Cell matches.
You're a smart motherfucker.
So
Wow. This
was also the go-home show before Kane won his first world championship because Kane won the world title at the pay-per-view.
Damn.
You're a smart motherfucker.
Man.
But then, like a schmuck, he loses it the next night back to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Like a schmuck. Oh, my God. So, yeah, that was that. I thought it was interesting because it was, you know, Hell in a Cell news. And also from right here in San Antonio, Texas. It's interesting that they can only have those Hell in a Cell matches in certain arenas that are equipped to handle you know, that have something hanging up there or something that they can brace the cell onto because the structure weighs so much. I don't know how much it weighs, but apparently, you know, they have to have their safety protocols and measures in line for them to do this. And only certain arenas can handle that Hell in a Cell structure, including the little tiny one in Corpus Christi, American Bank Center, which is rather interesting. I saw a Hell in a Cell match there. No, I did not. I wanted to go, but I did not see one there. No, I don't think it was there. No, it wasn't.
I've
right,
never been
so,
to Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I have. I went to one here. They had one here. I think it was here. I don't think it was in Corpus. I don't know. But anyway, moving on. Let's see here. It was... Oh, yeah, here's another good one. 19 years ago in San Antonio, Texas, San Antonio, cops were called into the home of Steve and Deborah Williams. That would be Stone Cold Steve Austin and his wife, Deborah, after an argument that ended up with Deborah having a welt on her face and bruises on her back.
Yeah.
Deborah said that Steve hit her several times during the argument. Steve fled the scene before police arrived. Now, 2 months later, Austin would be charged with misdemeanor assault and turned himself into Behar County. He was released on a $5,000 bond. That November, he pled no contest and was sentenced to 1 year probation, fined $1,000 and sentenced to 80 hours of community service. He was also ordered to attend domestic violence counseling and had to abstain from drinking alcohol for one whole year.
Yeah.
So what did that do to his character? Is that when he switched over to milk?
No.
He never really switched over to milk. But that happened.
That was a dark part of his life, you know, domestic abuse, you know.
He put hands on Deborah and, you know, he paid his price or whatever.
Hopefully
he's happy now, whatever he's doing.
Yeah, he's happy right now. I think he's in a good relationship. But what happened was horrible, but there's always two sides of the story. We don't really know what made him physically hurt Deborah. I mean, did we ever find out what the argument was about?
I've never really dug into it. I guess I've seen different shoots with Deborah and Steve where they talk about it, but they don't go into it. I think there's a non-disclosure clause where they can't talk about
it. I'm going to mute myself for a minute, gang.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not supporting what Austin did. What Austin did was terrible. I'm just saying that there's always two sides of the story.
Yeah, the settlement that was reached, I'm pretty sure I've heard him say that, like, Deborah can't talk about what happened, with the fight or whatever. Like, she can't give that detail. Because I watched a shoot with Deborah the other day, actually, and she, like, all she said about it was, like, she talked about being with Steven. She talked about how he was, like, hot and stuff. She was like, he was just a good-looking man. I was like, damn, he, like, beat the hell out of you, lady. Supposedly, apparently. Right? No, it was a long time ago, and, I mean, it's not right, but, I mean, if somebody commits a crime and serves and, or, like, does penance for their crime, maybe he did. Maybe it seems like he did. It seems like people forgave him for that. I don't know. We're going to recancel Steve Austin for domestic violence. I think a lot of celebs beating each other up, right? Celebrity deathmatch?
Yeah, Chris Brown would know that.
Yeah. Get out of here, dude. Chris Brown. Kanye West is my name. And Chris Brown. Kanye still works with Chris Brown. And that dude straight up beat Rihanna. It's so bullshit.
It is.
Anyway.
There's been some even worse things. But. And, you know.
It's weird when you cancel somebody. It's weird how you, like, the lines that get drawn. So do you cancel Steve? You cancel Chris Brown? You cancel whoever? We're not the ones to say. Everybody's going to tweet about it a bunch at the same time, and then that's who decides.
So what else happened in this?
19 years ago, WWE presented Bad Blood.
Which year?
From the Compaq Center in Houston. Now, the Compaq Center is now a church where Joel Osteen comes out of.
Yeah.
Let's see here. It was up 320,000 homes on pay-per-view from the King of the Ring, the previous event. Let's see here.
What year was it?
It was in 2002. I'm sorry, 2003. Sorry, 2003.
Oh, I know what this is, yeah.
It was a Sunday Night Heat pre-show match. Ivory defeated Molly Holly. Rodney Mack defeated and Christopher Nowinski defeated the Dudley Boys. Scott Steiner defeated Test to win Stacy Keibler's managing service. Oh, I remember that.
Oh,
nice.
Oh.
Booker T defeated Christian by disqualification in a WWE Intercontinental match. Resistance defeated Rob Van Dam and Kane to win the World Tag Team title match.
This was during the time where Kane was going to go ballistic and he was going to unmask. This was the end of Face Kane. This was the starting point, right?
Wow, that's great, Christian. That's some good work there, bud. Goldberg defeated Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Shawn
Michaels.
Yeah, this was during the part. The reason why this match happened was because somebody was running over Goldberg, and it was Jericho who admitted that he did it. So that's why that match happened.
Oh, my gosh. Badass. Ric Flair defeated Shawn Michaels.
With the help of Randy Orton.
And Triple H defeated Kevin Nash in a Hell in a Cell match to retain the World Heavyweight Championship.
That match fucking blowed.
Was the special referee.
That match fucking sucked. Dude, you want to talk about boringest fucking Hell in a Cell matches? That was boring. Kevin Nash walking so fucking slow, and it's fucking awful. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of blood in it, but fuck me. And then Mick Foley, right? He's supposed to be unbiased, but then he screws Triple H two times during the fucking match. It's like, what the fuck is this shit? This is like a 2-on-1 situation, and he's
man, Triple H getting screwed.
Yeah, like I understand, like in the story sense, Mick Foley has a grudge because it was in a Hell in a Cell match that he ended his career. But
yeah.
You're supposed to be unbiased, right? So it's a 2-on-1 situation, and I'm supposed to boo for this guy. Like, bullshit.
Huh.
Yeah. No, it's the story of the guy who got bullied by it's the bully getting his. He's like, now he's in a situation where he can't win.
Want to know the reason why Mick Foley was the referee? Do you guys remember why? Because in case, I'll tell you why. So, it was the pay-per-view before this pay-per-view, Bad Blood. It was Judgment Day, 2003. Triple H was fighting Kevin Nash, and Triple H disqualified himself by hitting the ref with a sledgehammer. And that's why we had a referee for the Hell in a Cell match, because the referees were too scared to officiate Triple H's matches because they were scared that he was going to hit them with sledgehammers.
Oh, hell.
So that's why Mick Foley was chosen to be the special guest referee.
Oh, wow. Badass. That's great. So, yeah. Looking back on that, that sounds pretty good.
That's how you build a fucking match. That's a good build-up.
Yeah, it does. It sounds pretty damn good. I like it. I like the you know, all the shit. He was intimidating the refs and shit. Moving on, 14 years ago, Sherry Russell, later Sherry Schroll, but best known to wrestling fans as Sensational Sherry Martel, died of a drug overdose at her mother's house in Ocala, Alabama.
Jesus.
She was 49 years old. Born in February 8, 1958 in Birmingham, Alabama, Sherry was first introduced to wrestling when her mother took her and her sister to wrestling events in Mississippi. She was 16. She sought advice on how to become a wrestler by Grizzly Smith, the father of Jake the Snake Roberts, but was told to come back in 5 years when she was an adult. Now, what a story, huh? During her second marriage,
he's not a great guy.
Her interest in wrestling picked up once again and began training with Butch Moore in Memphis, then with the Fabulous Moolah in South Carolina. It was there where Sherry picked up her ring name, Sherry Martel. She originally wrestled as Sherry Martine. Allegedly, it was Sherry's parting ways that got her kicked from wrestling school. Martel returned to Memphis and was managed by Jim Cornette. But her wrestling career was put on hold when she was injured in a battle royal. When she recovered, she joined the American Wrestling Association with the help of Larry Zbysko. Wow. In September 1985 at Superclass, Sherry defeated Candy Devine to win the AWA World Women's Championship. The two would trade the championship over the next 9 months, with each woman winning the belt from the other twice. She doubled as a manager, managing Playboy Buddy Rose and Pretty Boy Doug Summers to the AWA World Tag Team Champion. This woman had quite a...
I'm sorry. Did you say that in 9 months they traded places with the titles how many times? Twice?
They each won it twice. They took the belt from each other twice.
That's in 9 months.
Each woman winning the belt from each other twice.
Oh, my God.
While she doubled as a manager.
Madness.
Yeah. So she was WWF bound thanks to a referral by Jesse the Body Ventura. On July 24, 1987, she debuted as Sensational Sherry, and success quickly found her. She defeated Fabulous Moolah for the WWF Women's Championship that day and held the championship for the next 15 months, finally losing it to Rockin' Robin in Paris in 1988. The women's division was phased out by 1990, but Sherry remained on her most famous role, manager to the stars. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Following WrestleMania 5, she aligned with Macho Man Randy Savage against Hulk Hogan and Miss Elizabeth. The feud would include Brutus Beefcake and Zeus of No Holds Barred fame, would last for the remainder of the year. At SummerSlam, Martel got an unwanted haircut after she was knocked out by Elizabeth with Sherry's purse.
Yeah.
Martel and Savage would feud with Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire for most of 1990, but it would be Miss Elizabeth that foiled the WWF's King and Queen again when she interfered on Dusty and Sapphire's behalf at WrestleMania 6. The alliance between Sherry and Randy ended at WrestleMania 7 when Savage was forced to retire after being defeated by the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
An irate Sherry kicked away at the defeated Savage until Elizabeth came to his rescue. Later in the show, Sherry helped Ted DiBiase attack Rowdy Roddy Piper, aligning herself with the Million Dollar Man. Wow. Hey,
what a career, though. All the people she knew.
Yeah.
Then
it keeps going.
Then there's the one that I remember the most when she was with
Shawn Michaels. Yep,
yeah.
That was next. A few months later, Sherry would align with Shawn Michaels, even providing the vocals for her theme.
It was shit.
Shawn Michaels provided the vocals for her theme. Wow, we got to look that up. Later in 1992, Shawn Michaels would be confronted by a returning Marty Jannetty and grab the mirror he was looking at himself with. Jannetty, looking to hit Michaels, hit Sherry instead. She would
their WrestleMania match fucking stunk.
Oh, my God. Everything fucking stinks.
But this is when Sherry turned babyface.
She would be off television until 1993 Royal Rumble, where Sherry turned on Michaels.
Yeah,
Shawn confronted
babyface.
Sherry, but Marty came to her rescue.
Which is fucked up, right? Which is fucked up, right? Because what did Shawn did to deserve her turning on him?
I don't know. Maybe he was being a douchebag behind the scenes.
No, like, he didn't do anything. If anything, Shawn should have been the babyface because he got fucked over.
Sherry aligned herself with Tatanka in the feud with Luna Vachon and Bam Bam Bigelow, but the feud never concluded with Sherry being released that summer. After a brief run in ECW, Sherry went to WCW as Sensuous Sherry. In 1994, she aided Ric Flair in his feud with Hulk Hogan and Sting. The next year, Sherry, known as Sister Sherry, aligned with Harlem Heat. Under her management, the duo won the WCW World Tag Team Championship 7 times. She had a brief on-screen relationship with Colonel Robert Parker until Harlem Heat fired him. Sherry herself would be ditched by Harlem Heat in 1997.
Well, she said that it was all an act so that they could win back the tag title, and they weren't happy about that, so that's why they kicked her out.
She would make cameo appearances for most of the remainder of her career, appearing at the infamous Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view in 1999. Returning briefly to WCW in 2000 as part of the Kurt Angle Shawn Michaels feud in 2005, where Sherry sung a parody of Shawn Michaels' "Sexy Boy." And for TNA, in late 2006, offering her managerial services to Robert Roode. Sherry was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame by Ted DiBiase in April 2006.
Wait, 2006?
Yeah, that's when she was inducted into the Hall of Fame, according to this.
I thought, out of anybody, she would be inducted by Shawn Michaels.
On the morning of June 15, 2007, Martel was found dead at her mother's residence in McCalla, Alabama. She
Damn.
Was 49.
Damn.
3 months later, homicide investigators revealed that she died of a drug overdose with multiple drugs in her system, including high amounts of oxycotine.
Oxycontin.
Yeah. Martel, who was posthumously inducted into the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame in 2014, had one son. Wow. So, God bless Sherry Martel. May she rest in peace.
Yeah.
What a great career, though, she had in such a short time.
Yeah. Though, in one of her terrible runs, she... Her managing Tatanka was one of the worst.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
We were talking about Tatanka last week, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we went from Robert Roode, Shawn Michaels, Macho Man Randy Savage, Ted DiBiase, and Tatanka. Fuck Tatanka.
Yeah, and so that's it for this day, June 15th in wrestling history. Get the fuck out of here. June 15th in wrestling history, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll get back to seeing what the hell we can do with the rest of this show. We still got a lot of show left. We got picks to make, too. So stay with us, and we'll be right back on Fatal 4-Way Radio. I come from money.
About this fucking shithole ending. Go ahead.
Personally, I was checking it out, and then I was like, what the fuck? Okay, the TV went off. She sees herself in the mirror, and then she sees the reflection of Lily in the background. And when she turns around, and Lily isn't there. So she turns back around, and she says, you're just a doll. You're just a doll. And then she turns around, and it's all fucking a bunch of crazy fucking madness. I'm thinking, what the fuck would Stone Cold Steve Austin think about this shit?
I wasn't letting little doll try to whoop on my ass. Little doll trying to whoop on the top manic redneck's ass. I'd have no intent to whoop ass on Lily.
Fatal 4-Way Radio. Only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HDTVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry, Ashford,
Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
We welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping litter, well, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy. So future generations can enjoy too.
I've got the look that drives the cool while I've got the move that really move them. I said chill, up and down that line. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister. I'm sitting here with Kevier West and Christian from Philly.
A swami.
A conversation. Yeah, a swami.
There you go.
Reminds me with such disdain. The swami. The heel. Big time heel who claims he's a heel, but he's a self-proclaimed heel, but he's actually a baby face if you listen to him. But I digress. Guys, we did wrestler birthdays and this day in wrestling history. We have more news though. We have more things to talk about. I wanted to talk about John Cena's imminent return. It's coming, and there's nothing anybody can do about it.
He wouldn't care.
The guy that is, you know, going to be like the new Undertaker, the new Sting, the new, you know, whatever.
Whoa.
They go on and on, the new Triple H.
Like all scary and painted face and zombified and stuff?
No, not like that. Yeah. He's going to be the guy where they're going to milk him every time he's going to return.
The new Rock.
But let's be fucking honest, people. John Cena doesn't give a fuck about the wrestling business anymore. Ever since he got that little phone call to Hollywood, that's his only been his real attention. He's just coming back just to get a fucking pay rise in his paycheck. That's the only reason why
he's
coming back.
He does have hustle in Hollywood, but he also has loyalty and respect for the wrestling business.
He does not have none of those things.
I think that he does, and I think that he'll be around for years to come, whether you like it or not.
And intensity.
I'm not mad with John Cena anymore.
He loves
the
business.
I just don't care about him.
He loves the business, and he's going to be back. You see, because the business is what got him there.
Yeah.
And, you
I'm
know,
not
he's
mad
not
at...
going to turn his back on, you know, the hand that fed him, everything that he has.
He's
definitely going to come back, and he's going to do what he has to do, and he's going to have to go down to Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Once again. Now, he's making apologies to China and shit for calling Taiwan a country, which, let me remind you, Taiwan is a fucking country.
Whoa.
It's a country. They have their own flag. They have their own everything. And they're a fucking country. But apparently China does not recognize them as a country, and because China does not recognize them as a country. And John Cena's movie is going to be coming out soon, and it's going to premiere in Taiwan. And I'm pretty sure China's pissed off about it. And so he's over there having to suck up to China. The fuck
John Cena's movie. Ain't his movie.
Well, he's in the movie, and he speaks Chinese.
Yeah, but it's not his movie. It's Vin Diesel's movie.
Nevertheless, he's putting himself in place where, I mean, you know, it's like, get the fuck out of here.
The only reason
anyway,
why John Cena's in the Fast and the Furious is because he's jealous of the fucking Rock. That's why he's in this fucking film.
Well, he's got to compete with the Rock. He's got to achieve everything that the Rock has achieved and more. You see, he has to go on to become president of the United States. Otherwise, it's all for nothing for him.
Oh, my God. What if they're running?
I'm convinced they're going to run against each other.
No, they should run together, dude. Tag team.
Oh, yeah, they should. You're right. They should run together. Oh, my God. The party of the people.
Yes.
The people's president.
People power.
Shit, the FU. The instead of the cabinet, it'll be the FU board. Oh, my God. But I digress. So Cena's imminent return, and he's coming back to put over none other than Roman Reigns. It has to be.
Which he shouldn't, because he already did put him over, so this is really pointless, really.
Well, he's only going to be here probably for that run. It'll probably be just a short run. He's got bigger fish to fry in Hollywood.
I'm gonna love that. I'm actually gonna love that if Roman beats John Cena. I'd be like, if he does it again, like as this champion, I'd be totally cool with it. I'd actually buy that.
I just
it's
wouldn't
cool.
care. I just.
I'm starting
care.
To dig Roman Reigns. Starting to dig. It seems like he's coming into his own, regardless of
what
Christian
says. Well,
don't
get too excited, because guess what? They're already planning on turning him back babyface soon. So
no,
get wild where you used to it.
No, he ain't going to go back to babyface.
Yes, he is. It's been announced. They're already making plans for it.
No. Stop it.
Yes, dude. It's a secret plan. They already
decided. Their plans
decided.
Fucking change, dude. They change fucking all the time. They don't even know what the fuck show they're going to have. They don't even know what they're going to have on the SmackDown right now.
They're turning him babyface. They're turning him babyface after next year's WrestleMania.
How do you think they do it? Oh, after Mania.
They're going to do
but
it.
How do you think they do it? How do you think the
I don't know. Either with Heyman betraying him for Brock Lesnar, or The Rock beats him and we won't see him for like a few months.
Yeah.
And then people are going to go right back to hating his fucking ass, and we're going to be right back where we started. So again, this is all pointless.
Roman Reigns is a star, dude. When the crowds are back, people are going to pop for Roman as the tribal chief. They're going to boo the shit out of him, and the WWE is going to shove it even further down our throats. I see.
Great.
It's good. Tribal Chief Roman, I think, is good. I'm all in.
It's going to be ruined when he turns back babyface.
I'm digging the Tribal
Probably.
Chief now. I'm excited to see where this shit's going to go with him and his cousins.
Nothing. Jimmy's going to join him.
So we'll see how that develops. But moving on, because Cena is coming back, and he's coming back to job for Roman Reigns. That was my point of that whole thing. Bobby Lashley. Is he 2021's Kofi Kingston?
What?
Is he 2021's Kofi Kingston? Because let's get this straight, okay? Kofi Kingston was just a chess piece holder. He was the placeholder the whole time.
Not really. Kofi Kingston had a long title reign.
Yeah, he had a long title reign, but, you know, he was... Look where he's at now.
God, he's featured, dude. They've been talking about doing stuff with him again, too.
I mean,
he's
featured.
He's trying to draw him out of the New Day.
I
think that both...
They
Kofi
better
and
be
Bobby
setting
Lashley.
Him up, bro. They better
Kofi
be setting him up at this
both
point, dude.
Badasses.
They
to
better
be,
break up the fucking New Day. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Kofi with Lashley and MVP would be sick. I would be so down for that.
Who says it's going to be Kofi? It's going to be Xavier.
Oh, nice.
They're making you think it's going to be Kofi, but it's going to be Xavier who's going to turn on Kofi.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's pretty cool, too.
Because Kofi's too much of a Boy Scout to turn heel. We're going to get the next best thing. We're going to get Xavier. He's going to cut a promo saying, remember, it was because of me. It was because of me that you became WWE champion if it wasn't for the New Day. If it wasn't for me, you and Big E would have been nobodies. You've been nobodies without me. You were irrelevant before the New Day. And it was because of me that
right.
you became somebody. You became the World Heavyweight Champion because of me.
Nice.
But getting
I'm
back
down for either
to
one.
getting back to Bobby Lashley, because this is Bobby Lashley's segment. And what I meant by this is because Kofi Kingston, I mean, you know, but now I can see that there is a bigger picture for him, especially the article that I read with John Cena recently. I read an article with him about him. He was talking, and he said that that he's glad to be back, to be working with, you know, the younger stars and stuff and this and that. And that he's excited to see how they're going to develop going forward and be the future stars of WWE.
And
shit
yeah,
like
right.
that. He has to be referring to guys like Kofi Kingston then.
No.
Kofi's a
and
star.
That's the reason
Kofi's
why
a,
he had that long-ass
title
reign. Kofi's
been in WWE
reign.
For like 20 years.
Yeah, he's not a future star. I don't know what...
Kofi's a veteran.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a future
Kofi's
top
career
star.
Kofi's career has
he's
been
not
longer
a future
than
top
a lot of
star,
guys.
Minister. He's a veteran. He already peaked.
Yeah, but you put the title on him and you give him another long-ass title reign and then
they're
he's
not
like
gonna
definitely
a top star.
They're not going to
put the title on him ever again, sir. They're not going to do that again. That was just a one-time thing.
Yeah, I don't see him doing it again. But
a thing that happened by
Kofi
accident because Mustafa got injured. It was supposed to be Mustafa's instead of Kofi.
Well, shit. Here we are talking about fucking Kofi Kingston again, and we're supposed to be about Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Because
Bobby Lashley is boring.
No, Bobby
That's what
Lashley
I'm saying.
Has
so
MVP's
is he
going to
be Kofi Kingston all over again?
Yes, because guess what? We know now that Brock Lesnar's returning because SmackDown did a fucking mishap.
Oh, yeah.
Because during Bayley's segment, some idiot in the back production truck showed a sign that said WWE Champion Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman. So guess what? We now know Lesnar's coming back and he's going to beat Lashley for the fucking belt.
Damn it.
We need that
it's
all along, Christian.
I didn't put that together, dude. Whenever I saw that botch, I thought that it was like an old graphic, but it makes way more sense that it's a new graphic.
So they fucked it.
You know what
it.
I mean?
They fucking ruined it. Now we know who wins. They fucked it.
We
That's
always knew who was going to win, though.
Unless now they
knew.
Changed the ending.
We always knew that Bobby Lashley was just the placeholder for fucking...
Bobby.
We've been talking about this shit for months, bro.
Yeah, he's nothing.
It's interesting that they referred to him as Bobby Trashley.
Yeah. we're going to... After he beats Drew McIntyre, we're going to see Kofi versus him and Money in the Bank... And that's when Xavier turns on him, and then we're going to see Brock versus Lashley at SummerSlam, and then Lesnar beats him. That's what's going to happen.
Christian's got it all worked out.
But that's what's going to happen.
Christian's got it all worked out.
Then Roman
faces
SummerSlam, Cena SummerSlam.
And meanwhile, we've got new stars. Not new stars, but like, who are going to be the top stars going forward for WWE?
Well, we all know it's not Damian Priest because we haven't seen that fucker in 3 weeks.
You haven't. You have not seen him
right.
in 3 weeks already?
It's been 3 to 2 weeks. We haven't seen that motherfucker since forever.
And
that's
you
true.
you were right. And, you know, I think even I brought it up. I think I asked a couple of weeks back if he was going to get Sandow, how long it would be before he got Sandow?
Fucking month.
He's been Sandow officially. I mean, fuck.
Already?
Officially, he's been Sandow. There's nothing for him. They have
Sandow
nothing
had a long career
for
before
him.
That happened to him, too, though. Sandow was there for a while before that happened to him.
Yeah, he
Damian
was
only there for
while.
Like... He was only there for like 6 months or something.
He was. He had like two or three different gimmicks. I hated that shit that he did with the Miz, where he was shadowing the Miz.
No, yeah. I mean, I loved everything Sandow did. I was all about Sandow at the time.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't even know about the whole Keith Lee situation.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No,
no one knows.
No one knows shit.
The guy's fucking been cryptic on fucking Twitter. He won't tell anybody what the fuck's going on. What future stars is John Cena talking about?
Yeah, right.
Who's he talking about here?
I'll give Matt Riddle a chance
because he's been great with Randy Orton. So, okay, he gets a pass.
Yeah, Riddle and Cena would be really good.
But other than that, who the fuck else? Adam Cole, no fucking chance because his fucking theme music sucks. Adam Cole's already buried. There's no chance for Adam Cole.
He got choked out on NXT.
Yeah, so Johnny Gargano, fuck no. He had a bad debut on Raw, so he's fucking out.
I'm going to tell you what this is doing, guys. And with them, you know, just getting rid of talent left and right. Okay, so yeah, they brought back Samoa Joe. You know, but are they going to bring back Braun? Or is he going to get picked up by AEW? There's already news going around.
I heard that he was going to get back into Strongman was the rumor I heard.
All kinds of shit going around. And so one has to wonder, with them getting rid of a lot of these contracts and stuff, you know, AEW is picking and choosing what they want. Eventually, AEW is going to have, I mean, even I'm looking to make the change. I was looking forward to fucking watching, or I had been thinking, man, I got to watch this shit Friday. They got this thing going on Fridays now on AEW.
Because of the playoffs.
And so it's like, shit, man. I gotta set up my app and shit so that I can start watching AEW. And it'll be cool because I can watch WWE on the television and AEW on the laptop, and I'll be badass.
I want to know, when did you start? Cedric Alexander? Is John Cena talking about Cedric Alexander, a guy twice in two weeks lost to Jeff Hardy?
No.
Talking about those future stars?
Is he talking about that new...
They break up a great faction to bury the youngest star, the youngest potential star that they have. They just bury the shit out of them in Cedric Alexander. It's so weird.
Is he talking about that new guy with Ali?
Fuck no. Obviously not, because he's fucking boring. And guess what? He's already ruined because his undefeated streak. The thing that made him so important got defeated because of a DQ.
So, who the fuck knows who John Cena is talking about, but we do have to move on. And so let's do this like this.
And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly, with AEW Weekly.
Yes, hello, welcome to AEW Weekly, where I talk about what happens in the ins and outs of AEW, you fucking bitches.
Stop it.
Anyway, we get started with breaking news. Arn Anderson's son, who I don't know his name, but his last name is Anderson, debuts to AEW and now is joining the official roster of AEW.
It's something like Rex or something, isn't it? Is it something like...
I don't fucking know. All I know is he's an exact clone of Arn Anderson, which is scary.
Yeah.
It's creepy and it's scary. So he made his debut. QT Marshall, being the dickhead that he is, interrupts. Attacks Arn Anderson from the back with a belt. And then his son, Arn Anderson's son, attacks him. And I cannot wait to see what the son of Arn Anderson can do in the ring. I am very much excited. Because hopefully this is not a case of nepotism. And he's actually good. Let's hope. Any thoughts?
Yeah. No, it was cool. It could be cool. I think it's cool that they're bringing, I don't care if it's time for WCW 2.0. Like, but let's bring back a bunch of old talent and their kids and, like, have it be, like, this whole big family affair, like, old wrestlers. I'm down with that storyline. Because it brings, what's the word, like, having second-generation wrestlers and stuff like that, it brings prestige and stuff like that. Yeah, it's like they have something to fight for. They're fighting for their parents' name and legacy and stuff like that. Just like how I've talked about how the belts are important, stuff like that can be important in wrestling too, like a legacy.
Yes. In other news, Leo Rush retires from wrestling. That's right. We all thought Leo Rush was going to do great things in AEW, but the little bitch retired from professional wrestling.
Come on, bitch. He said he retired because he didn't want to get hurt so he could spend time with his kids.
Boo fucking who? That's the business. People do get fucking hurt. All right?
But this is also coming from Leo Rush. Like, what if this is a work and he just re-debuts?
Whatever. If he does re-debut, I'll be good. But the fact that he didn't want to get hurt and spend time with his kids, then he was in the wrong business altogether then. Because that's what happens in the wrestling business. You get fucking hurt.
He was taking way crazier spots on the indies than he was doing on WWE or AEW. Like he did get injured in AEW, but I'm just saying, like, you know, like, maybe it was the shit that you did on the indies that caused your injuries, not this little spots here and there.
Are you kidding me? That's the reason? He said
he got injured. He got injured. I don't remember what the injury was. It could be more bad. It could be worse than what I am thinking. But I don't think it was a career-ending injury. I think he just decided, like, I'm going to hang up my boots because I don't want to get hurt worse than this.
He can always fucking sell insurance, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great living.
What a waste. What a waste of a spot in a casino battle royal. What a waste. Anyway.
Yeah, it was in that match that he got hurt. I'm pretty sure it was in that match.
Yeah. Anyway, next up, the Inner Circle completely destroyed the limo of the Pinnacle. The Pinnacle looking like a couple of bitches, you know, cowards.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
They look like bitches. They got their car limo destroyed.
I hate them.
I don't hate them. I just hate, you know, they look like bitches. But we don't know if they confirmed their match yet. We don't even know what kind of match it is yet, but I'm sure it will be great. But it's going to be a good feud, this summer feud. It's going to be fucking great. Up next, we had the Kenny Omega being scared that he will lose the title against Moose. Spoiler alert, he fucking didn't. He beat Moose with the help of the Young Bucks. Spoiler alert, you know, it's the same old, same old. And Sami Callihan got fired from Impact, kayfabe, or maybe not, I don't know, because Don Callis is technically the executive producer of TNA. He could technically do that. So, yeah, Sami Callihan is fired. Don't be surprised if you see Sami Callihan on AEW because, you know, don't be surprised if Sami Callihan signs with AEW and then continues the feud between Kenny and Sami. So, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I have none because I didn't watch it, but, you know, I mean,
it was a miserable pay-per-view because the pay-per-view took place where AEW usually are every week, which means there was no fucking crowd and there was crowd noises. That's pitiful. I don't know what's up with Impact. Are they that so out of money they can't afford virtual fans? Are they that broke that they can't afford virtual fans or even some staff to be acting like fans, because they're the only ones who have no people whatsoever and they have fake crowd noises, which is stupid. Are they that out of money?
Who is this?
Impact.
Impact, wow. Well, I don't know. I haven't watched it, so I can't comment on it.
Kevin watched it. I mean, come on, man. Are they that fucking broke that they can't afford like the virtual fan crap or even fucking some staff members to pretend like they're fucking fans? Are they that broke?
Don't they have like a few people in there? I thought that they had like little small groups of people.
It's completely empty.
Yeah.
No, that is weird. Like, an empty arena match is the worst thing, and they're kind of infamous for doing the horrible ones. Like, the worst ones have been in TNA. So I feel like that's, like, the worst decision they could make is to do no crowd
at all. Every week.
Yeah.
It's every week on their show.
No, maybe I'm thinking of NWA Power. They have, like, small crowds, I think, on Power. They have people on the sides, like a few people.
In other news, it looks like Brian Cage is going to turn babyface because during a tag match with Adam Page and Penn with Hops and Brian Cage, Brian Cage refused to cheat, and Ricky Starks slapped him, and it looks like Brian Cage is going to break off with Team Taz. Good for him, because I'm going to keep saying this every week. Team Taz is the worst faction ever. These people never fucking win. They always lose every week. They got beat by Sting. They get beat by Darby Allin. They get beat by fucking Christian. And they're getting beat now by Adam Page. Who have the Team Taz legit won? When was the last time Team Taz beaten anybody? This is the worst faction in AEW right now. Tell me I'm wrong right now. Tell me.
Yeah, and Taz acts all goofy and stuff on the mic when he's in commentary. Then he acts like he tries to play like a tougher Taz when he's with Team Taz. Like he's not, I don't know, from what I've seen, maybe he does do funny more, but just like him on the commentary booth versus him,
it's
with him, doesn't make any sense.
He has one of the best wrestlers in his stable, and they're booked to look like losers. He has the best wrestlers in that group. Brian Cage, Ricky Starks, Hops. And they all don't win. They don't win. Every week, they lose to somebody. It's pathetic.
Now you're right.
Wow. That's pretty fucked up.
It's weird. I mean, don't you think they have people booking it and, like, analyzing it and being like, why do they, like, can we keep making them lose? Like, don't you think that Arn and the guys that are backstage, who's Mark Henry, they're all thinking, like, hey, shouldn't you book these guys a little better?
Obviously not. Maybe they just don't like Taz.
It's a rib.
I mean, Taz is pretty shit.
Is he drip?
No, he's shit. He's the dripping shits.
Oh, shit.
And that's it for
the
AEW.
That he has a job. He has one of the more tarnished reputations. Like, definitely doesn't have, like, the best reputation looking back from people. They all call him, like, a crybaby and, like, a little spoiled kind of guy. And, like, in ECW, that's how people talk about him. But I don't know. For some reason, he's still, like, over enough to be on TV. It's weird. He wasn't for a while, right? Or he was on TNA too when he was doing his radio show. At first, he was on TNA.
Yeah, he was on TNA. Then he was in ECW. Then he was in WWF. All those runs fucking sucked. Every single one sucked. Him managing. Do you even remember him managing Samoa Joe? I don't blame you because that didn't even fucking last long. How could you fuck up managing Samoa Joe? How could you fuck
especially
that?
As Taz, like, they're so much alike.
Fuck out of here.
I hate them. I hate them. I hate them.
Useless. Even his podcast fucking sucks.
I was a fan of his radio show. Like, I think he is funny, but no, he's not presented as, like, a threat, and his group's not presented as a threat for sure.
Hey, have you guys ever gone back and listened to our podcast?
I've listened to episodes before.
I don't do it often, but here lately to get these clips and shit, I've been doing it. Man, we're kind of funny.
Yeah.
We're kind of funny, man. But I digress. AEW Weekly, thank you very much, Christian from Philly.
You're all.
And that was it, right? That was it for AEW Weekly, right?
Yeah, that's it for AEW for now.
Yeah. All right, so it's a good time to take a little break, and then we're going to come back
to
And it's going to be finished. We're going to finish up with the predictions. So we'll be right back.
Build up.
After these words.
Looking for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast, season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys!
Hi everybody, Albert Salazar here to tell you about our new show, Bombing Out, hosted by me and my good pal, Joe B. Woo! We're taking stand-up comedy open mics and doing them better than anybody has ever done in the history of mankind. Watch comics bomb horribly, live from the comfort of your own home. No cover charge, no drink minimums, no bouncers kicking you out for taking your pants off. Bombing Out is live Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on Facebook Live, YouTube, Instagram, and of course at bombingout.com. Comics can also sign up on the website. Audio versions of the show will be available on the World Generation Podcast Network. Bombing Out, the future of stand-up today. Visit bombingout.com for more information.
People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Peacemaker Kevier West and the Swami, Christian from Philly. And now we get to the juicy part. We're going to talk about the we're going to have a brief conversation about the build-up, and then we're going to get into the prediction match by match. Swami, you have your pen and paper ready, or do I need to do this? Or Kevin.
No, I can do that. Let me get my pen and paper right now.
You know what? I got mine ready. Huh, how about
right.
that? How about them out?
All right, you...
The wonder of the world is gone, I know for sure.
Hey, real quick.
Damn, I love that fucking song.
I had a train of thought just now, but it was, you know, that song was great, and it made me think of Sheamus' old theme song. But then I saw a thing where, you know, that guy broke into WWE. Did y'all see that? Where he broke in and stole, like, a couple
of
duffel bags.
They're looking
stuff.
For him. Is in Tampa, yeah. The guy
who?
Broke in. There's
the guy
a guy
broke in
who broke into the performance center. He stole a lot of
supposedly
shit.
Supposedly one of the items he stole was he stole Sheamus's cross, the Celtic cross that he used to wear. But I think they said that he stole title belts too, but I don't know what else he got.
What a dickhead.
Exactly.
What a fucking dickhead. But you know what? How shit is WWE security not fucking securing their fucking wrestlers as private property? How shit are they?
Well,
you can just
walk in and
grab that shit.
It could have been it could have been something a little bit more sophisticated than a walk in and grab. It could have been something, you know, of a situation where they had intelligence. They knew somebody on the inside, somebody that works there, maybe told them how to do some certain things to get in there and do whatever the fuck. You never know.
Right.
Because these buildings have fucking, like, either they likely have a card. Okay, that you have to fucking place on the goddamn keypad to get in the fucking building. Okay,
yeah.
Let's be realistic. Most of these buildings, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Where you have stars and shit. You also have to get through a security guy at the gate. At the Performance Center, I'm pretty sure it's at a complex. You're not going to just be able to fucking drive to that complex up to, and walk
oh,
up
wait,
to
the
car
the performance.
And walk
this
up
was,
to the fucking
was,
front door.
This was in the Thunderdome.
Oh, yeah. And see,
that's
in the Thunderdome, you know, you have even more access, you know, more people
that's
that work
worse.
There and shit, you know. That's so you never know how this could have happened. But wow,
man,
when did this happen? I had no idea that this happened. When did it happen or what?
It happened yesterday, I think.
No, the guy broke in like a week ago. I think I saw it like 5 days
what
ago.
All was taken?
The only thing I know that was actually taken was the Sheamus's cross. I saw that today. Sheamus posted that in the Twitter thread about it.
And then some titles?
Let me see. Yeah, let's Google
wow.
it real quick. Okay. Theft at the Thunderdome. Police department looking for help. The report states the above date and time. It was May 22nd. Whoa. So that was like a few weeks ago. The
yeah.
suspect removed several items from inside the Yuengling Center belonging to WWE. He appears to be between the ages 25 and 30, brown hair, mustache, and a goatee. They got pictures of him. He wasn't masked up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, here recently, as recent as just 3 days ago, Gary Cassidy was checking out his daughter who was selling lemonade
oh, yeah.
to WWE superstar Seth Rollins, who popped in. And so the little girl, Ari, decides that she wants to make extra money to buy an iPhone. Very nice. She's been doing lemonade stands for herself, and you never know who's going to randomly show up to buy some lemonade, and there it is. Mr. Monday Night himself, Seth freaking Rollins. Get the fuck out of here. I wonder where this is at. It looks like a modest neighborhood, too. Like, it doesn't look like anything special or fancy or anything. This looks like a regular place. You know, it certainly doesn't look like a gated community with beautiful fucking shrubs and trees and shit everywhere. But
yeah.
what fucking...
It looks like
cool
he's just
is...
riding his... I think in the picture he has his bike laying on the ground, right? So he's just riding his bike around town.
No, it's a little girl's bike.
Oh, it's her bike.
It's a little girl's bike. He looks like he may have been on a jog. He does have a strap around him, you know, which, you know... Like,
he's out there crossing,
you know,
dude. He's just out there swinging in trees.
Yeah,
and stuff.
He's out there.
I'm gonna climb that.
He's got some kind of bag around
girl,
his shoulder.
You got anything I can climb back there? Is there anything?
Yeah,
you know, like a treehouse.
Yeah, little girl. Want to hear my theme song? You want to hear my theme song? You want to hear my theme song?
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
The one you
hate.
Best lemonade. The best lemonade. You just have to follow my vision.
It's for the greater good. This lemonade's for the greater
good. Becky's like in the car. She's like, Seth, get in the car. Get back in the car, Seth. The baby's
crying.
What
the fuck is wrong with you, mate? What the fuck is wrong with you, Muppet?
Get me a lemonade.
Remember who wears the pants
baby,
in the relationship,
the
man. I am the man.
You think the baby sounds like Seth or like Becky?
Both.
Stop
it. Boy.
Stop it. Guys, speaking of Becky Lynch, I think she comes back sooner rather than later, and I'm talking about SummerSlam sooner. Dude, the fucking women's division is in rough shape right now.
It's
they
going
to use a fucking shot in the ass like fucking Becky Lynch.
I don't want
Come
Charlotte
on.
Versus Becky. I don't want to see that.
I know. I was being sarcastic. I knew you
but
would
But I digress. So do we have the card?
Yes, probably.
What is it? Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, get that fucking card.
2021, there we go. Let me get it.
The build-up. SmackDown
should still throw some stuff haywire, too. We could see something happen on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely got to be more matches, more shit added. We have, currently, we have 5 matches added. Let's see what CBS has. In the meantime, we'll talk about the 5. But I'm going to open up CBS.com. They usually have more matches that they add, and they're usually on point. But not, the first match we're going to have is a singles match. Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler.
Well, okay, well, this match has no fucking build, all right?
With Nia Jax and Reginald.
Well, let me tell you how this came to be, okay? For weeks, Alexa Bliss, whatever, with no reason whatsoever, not even explaining, she just fucks with Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax in their tag team match, helps Tamina and Natalya win the tag belts, helps Reginald beat Shayna, had the horrific ending on Raw last week, and there you go. That's how we got to this fucking pointless match.
But wait. She seemed to have put Reginald under some kind of spell.
Which is stupid. Because...
Well, you never know. That could be part of the story.
No, I don't want Reginald involved.
Where the fuck is Bray Wyatt? Where the fuck is Bray Wyatt? And then how the fuck did just Randy Orton just fucking get away from everything?
He might as well be fired. Bray might as well be fired right now. Bray doesn't work for WWE. He's not a real character. He's not. They're going to bring it back, and we're not going to care. Nobody's going to care.
Dude, I don't give a fuck about The Fiend. The Fiend is already dead when Randy Orton beat him at WrestleMania, so I don't care about The Fiend
is
anymore.
Is he inside her box?
What?
Is he inside? Is he trapped inside her box?
No.
He just lost,
and then he goes the next night on a Firefly Sun. I said, oh, it's going to be different, you know. It's going to be a new year. It's going to be a fresh start. Then that's the last time we see of him for weeks. Nothing happens.
So
I don't care
Bliss
about this Alexa Bliss
Baszler.
Bullshit. People
Nia
are going to turn
well,
on this shit.
I don't know, man. I'm starting to dig it, I'm telling you.
No, I'm telling you right now, when the live fans come back, they're going to fucking turn on this shit. They're not going to like it. Why do you think that fucking doll was not on last night's show? Because they don't want that shit with the live events. They even know that this shit is garbage.
I think that Alexa will be over with the fans, but I think that people will like Alexa. They won't like the, they might not like the character, but they'll like Alexa.
They even know that this fucking gimmick's trash.
Okay.
Trash. I mean, the doll is definitely
who's
trash.
Who's picking who or what?
What do you
Let's
think
go
will win?
With...
It's going to be Alexa.
Shayna Baszler, who was not even seen last night. I was thinking, what the fuck is going to happen with Shayna Baszler? Is she going to be backstage like nothing happened? That's what I thought they were going to do.
No, she's going to say, I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were going to do it last night. I thought they were just going to all of a sudden show her backstage like fucking nothing happened to her and shit after that crazy madness shit that happened last week.
All they're going to do...
But no, instead, they didn't even show her.
No, yeah. They have Nia Jax say that Shayna's going to challenge her. Not even the person who's fighting Alexa Bliss.
They didn't even show her last night, so... That
garbage.
Remains a mystery as to what happened to Shayna Baszler, and there's your story.
Nothing. They're going to say that she doesn't remember what fucking happened. She was with the room,
you
and then
know,
everything
man.
Went back.
Alexa Bliss could very well be getting herself a fucking faction going with Shayna Baszler and with fucking Reginald.
No. She's just going to beat
Shayna.
She
put Reginald under a spell last night. We saw it.
I don't want... Dude, if Reginald's involved, then that makes what? How many women has this guy fucking joined? In a
but
span
you
of
years. Understand Christian.
He was with fucking Carmella. Now he was with Nia Jax and Shayna. And now he's possibly being with fucking Alexa Bliss. What the fuck is wrong with this guy? Why don't they fucking have him stick to just one fucking person?
Yeah.
He's a player, man.
It is a pretty funny gimmick to have the guy bounce around between everybody. It doesn't make any sense.
It's trash.
He needs to help, Eva Marie.
Yeah, there you go. Him and Eva Marie would be a great fucking... Oh, my God.
And that'll be Carmella and him again. That's the same shit. They're the same character, Carmella and Eva.
God damn, breaking news. Top of the 10th. Texas 3. Astros 2. Damn it.
So we're all picking Alexa, right? I'm just going to write down Alexa.
Yeah, there could be nobody else but Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is going to win this match. I can't see Shayna Baszler winning, even with Nia Jax and Reginald. She's going to trap Shayna Baszler
right
in the fucking box, too.
I could even... call the spots right now. Shayna's going to beat the shit out of Alexa, and then she's going to do supernatural shit, and she's going to win Alexa.
Yeah, Reginald's going to come in there.
I'm still, what disgusts me the most about this shit, this is for real. Okay, what disgusts me the most about this shit is how they're just so casually using the special power shit.
It's bullshit.
Because ultimately, what's the ultimate payoff on this? I think I brought this shit
up.
She's
not winning a title with this.
She's not
going to
fucking remain this character where she uses special. They're just bastardizing the fucking special power shit.
They're fucking disrespecting The Undertaker. This is disrespectful.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They're just bastardizing the whole fucking special power shit with this fucking shit. Because it's not going to last. How long is this shit going to last?
I don't fucking know.
Is it going to culminate at WrestleMania?
It'll probably
eventually last. We're going to see Alexa Bliss as a different character, a babyface or some shit. She's not going to stay like this shit forever. Now,
well,
who's
supposed to be the babyface in this fucking match?
Who the fuck knows? Bray Wyatt was a goddamn babyface at the end of his fucking whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Yeah.
So
it's just terrible. Confusing. It's confusing and it's terrible.
But I am starting to like it, though.
I don't like it for too much if this shit continues where she just gets her ass kicked.
I'm starting to like it.
If you use the supernatural powers too much,
put me down.
Yeah, I already did.
If you use supernatural powers too much, it can definitely be bad. And they've done it a lot with her.
They have, dude. They've bastardized it, man. It's like, fuck, what's the ultimate payoff? I mean, it better be fucking something really fucking wicked.
Dude, imagine if she faces Becky Lynch. That would be terrible. Like, that would be horrible for Becky. That would be awful.
No, Bianca if Becky Belair puts her away, that would be perfect. Becky would be a good candidate to put her away.
No.
She would be. And then Alexa takes fucking time off, 6-8 weeks off of television and shit, and then she comes back a different character with vignettes and shit. Bianca Belair champion.
Yeah.
That's got to be fake hair, guys. It's got to be fake hair.
The whole thing? Part of
not the whole thing. Not the whole thing. I'm convinced she has hair down to, like, her waist. And then, because I've seen, now, I don't follow her on Twitter or anything like that.
I can imagine.
Sorry?
Wrestling with it. Like, it probably gets all messed up, like, all the time. Like, they probably have to, they redo it or.
I read the interview with her where it's a process that she has to go through every show. And she's there. She's in her that interview. She indicated that she was the first one there, in makeup and hair and shit. The first one there and the last one out.
Yeah.
So right. I mean, fuck, dude. That's a hell of a commitment. I don't know how long she's gonna have it before they have a hair match or whatever the hell. But
oh my gosh.
Hair. God bless her though, for doing it. And
so,
now, by the way, I still like this character. I still like this character, even though she's flawed. She's flawed in ways like, let me tell you how she's flawed. Like, sometimes she sounds too much like a heel because, you know, she's a natural fucking heel. And they got her as a baby face, working this baby face shit. And sometimes she goes off and then, but then she corrects herself and shit. I've seen her do it. And she does it, and she does a fine job doing it. But anyway, she's going up against Bayley. Who's super fucking heel right now. Holy shit. I'm digging
really.
This crap. I'm digging this super Bayley heel shit right now.
Not really. It's not really super heelish. It's just annoying.
Yeah, well, it's not super heel yet. But okay, you're right. You're right. It's not super heel.
He's never going to be
she's
super heel. I think her heel run is done. I think it's done.
No.
She's done.
It's not done. It's not done.
Like, who's she going to face after this?
She has to win the fucking title.
She's not winning the title.
How do you know that?
Because she's not. The person who's going to get the rematch is Sasha Banks when she comes back in July.
Why is she out until July? What the fuck?
Because she's taking time off during The Mandalorian.
Wait a minute. What the fuck is this Mandalorian shit?
The Star Wars show Disney Plus.
Is she doing a movie right now or what?
No, she's doing a show. She's one of the characters in The Mandalorian.
She's on the Baby Yoda show.
Yeah.
It's a TV show or?
Yeah, it's a TV show for Disney Plus.
Do you know what Baby Yoda is?
No, I don't, bro. I mean, I've heard of Mandalorian. And
it's a Star Wars spinoff.
Yeah, I know. It's some kind of
Baby
Star
Yoda?
Wars shit. I hate Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't watch any fucking Star Wars shit. I'm not
you
down
are,
with
you.
That's
are
why
a
she's
deal.
Doing that. So Bayley's not fucking winning. Okay?
Total fucking deal.
Okay, so the build up to this is lackluster, to be honest.
Bayley's
like,
not going
to
win this match, no. But eventually she has to win.
She's going to win. She's going to feud with somebody else, which I don't know who, or take time off altogether. Because there's... She's going to probably feud with Liv Morgan or somebody because she's not winning this fucking belt. So the build-up to this is fucking boring. Like, the whole build-up is just laughing. Bayley just laughs at Bianca every week.
But that was a comeuppance at the end there with Bianca Belair laughing back at Bayley.
Yeah, but that's all this feud's build-up to? Fucking laughing? That's it? That's not really a thing for a feud for a fucking world title should be. Like, that's stupid. That's the most laziest shit ever. Like, can you imagine they build a feud between Trish Stratus and Lita with laughter? You know how lame that fucking would have been? I mean, for fuck's sakes. Becky and Charlotte had a better feud.
Lita did some pretty bad feuds.
Man, she did.
This is awful. Shit's whack.
So, I'm going to say that, I'm going to say that Bianca wins. Bianca wins.
It's obvious. Bianca's going to retain.
What a
fucking you put me down for Bianca,
grace
right?
For Bailey.
All right, we all say Bianca, yeah. All right, what's the next one?
Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre.
Champion Bobby Lashley with MVP versus Drew McIntyre. They made sure that they fucking put that in. Last chance Hell in a Cell match. This is going to end in some kind of fucking bullshit.
Not really.
It's got bullshit written all over it.
Who cares at this point? Like, the feud, the build-up fucking sucks. This is atrocious. It doesn't even build properly because Kofi Kingston was involved.
That fucking atrocious fucking horrible fucking interviews or segments with Drew McIntyre. Man,
that promo was again. Oh, by the way, Kevin, did you get a chance to watch that promo from last week?
They gotta turn him heel again, guys. Fuck, man, this guy is shit stinking as a fucking baby face, man.
Awful. Last night he did it again. He was talking about Scottish shit in a backstage interview.
Fucking terrible. Oh, my God.
It's terrible. The build-up fucking sucks.
I wanted to throw my fucking bottled water at the fucking TV, man.
First off, Kofi Kingston gets involved in it for bullshit reasons. And then we had the contract signing segment, which was fucking garbage. And tonight, last night,
and
he
then
beats
wait a
Bob-
minute. The whole shit with Bobby fucking Lashley and the women, I mean, it's just over fucking played at this point. Way too much. Get the fuck out of here.
He's fucking boring.
This is so
Bobby's
all of a
fucking
sudden.
Boring.
Remember, 3 or 4 weeks ago when he first did it, I was like, and that was a touch of fucking badass right there. I like how he did it. It was a fucking very heel fucking thing. But then it's just like fucking. They just kept going with it. It's like, come on, man. Really? Why not show him doing other badass fucking things?
You know he's a trash world champion when he doesn't show up for a 3-hour show until the last fucking hour of the show. Last night,
he didn't even show up
towards the entire show until the third fucking hour.
He can't help the
He's your world fucking
book.
Champion.
But, I mean, shit, man. The whole thing with the fucking women is just, like, overplayed, and it's just so, I don't know, man. It's like, where the fuck did it come from? He wasn't doing this shit fucking a month ago, 2 months ago.
This is the last pay-per-view in the Thunderdome. They're not going to do this is going to be the last one that's in the Thunderdome, I guess. The next one's going to be a lot of that in July.
No, this is the last pay-per-view for the Thunderdome.
Yes.
This is it.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. So I think that Bobby's going to win. Because I think that
it's obvious he's
going to
win.
Bobby.
Because Lesnar's going to beat him at SummerSlam.
Yeah, Bobby's definitely going to win.
They're
going to
save the title change for people.
But the question remains, what happens with Drew McIntyre after this? This is his last chance.
He beats Brock. Again, he comes back, we get Brock and Drew again.
No, I don't want that either.
They're going to do some kind of shit where fucking Bobby Lashley doesn't even get a title shot.
It's going to be somebody returning. It's going to be somebody returning. It's going to cost Drew McIntyre, and he's going to feud with somebody who's going to return. I think it's going to be Edge for some reason. I think Edge is going to come out of nowhere. Or Bray Wyatt. You know what? I think it could be Keith Lee.
Yeah, Keith Lee and McIntyre feud could still happen.
Finally.
That would be the best thing. But
I'm going to say Bobby
returning
Lashley.
Keith Lee. Yeah, I like that. A returning Keith Lee.
Yeah. I don't know. What's the next match?
That's it.
No, we got Rhea and Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Let's talk about that one.
There you go. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. Watchdog.
Fuck this feud, man. This feud's fucking trash. This build-up is fucking
trash.
Bad.
Every week I watch it, I kind of see more and more what you're talking about. It's more than just Rhea. Rhea is, like, kind of cringy when she talks, and she's still kind of rough in the ring. Like, I like her look, but that's about it now at this point. I can tell that, like, she needs more work.
This is fucked. This build-up in feud is fucking awful.
I think Charlotte looks like $1 million in this feud, dude. Charlotte looks great.
No.
At
how?
This point
she
in her
loses
career.
Every. She lost twice to Nikki Cross by bullshit reasons. By
yeah,
fucking beat
I mean,
clock and last
reasons.
Night a count out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean that she's being book strong. I just mean that she looks great. Her ring work looks really good, and her figure and everything looks like she's, like, in good shape. She's going to be a badass champion soon.
It's awful. This feud sucks. They made Charlotte look like a fucking dumbass. They made Rhea fucking boring. The matches they've had between the fucking matches are fucking terrible. One of the worst matches I've ever seen. The women's division fucking sucks. This build-up fucking sucks. Both women have no momentum whatsoever. The champion loses multiple times during the build-up, and the challenger loses multiple times during the build-up. Fuck this shit.
Yeah.
This feud's fucking awful.
This is a weird build.
I'm going to say Rhea retains because there's no way they're going to give it to Charlotte.
Nah. Put me down for Charlotte. Charlotte's going to win.
Rhea's
getting shipped out. She's getting shipped back to NXT. Get her out of here. Put her on SmackDown. No, I think Charlotte's going to win. I think that they're going to have Charlotte as, like, a strong women's champion for a while.
That would be her, what, 13th?
And she's
going to
beat her. She's going to beat her, and she's going to say, like, ha, see, I was screwed every week on Raw, like, blah, 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 Nikki Cross, all this, too. But once I got in the ring with her, blah, 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 you know, it's going to be like that.
No, I don't think she's going to beat her because she beat her WrestleMania.
Won.
I don't think she's going to beat her in this pay-per-view.
Keep in mind, guys, this is a regular singles match.
Yeah, so it's nothing
for
special.
For the Raw
so.
Women's Championship, so it could end up in a bullshit ending.
Yeah, which Rhea could retain, so.
In fact, put me down for a no finish with Rhea Ripley retaining. Either that
okay.
or fucking Charlotte Flair loses her anger. Some type of shit, you know what I mean? Attacks a referee. Didn't she attack a referee already? An official?
Yeah, she already did that.
So next thing you know, she attacks Rhea Ripley and doesn't stop punching her while she's in the corner. Something like that, you know, could happen.
No. Charlotte's going to she's going to sneak the win. She's going to be like, she's going to outsmart her finally. She's going to parade it around on Raw the next night.
If that's the case, then that power reign was fucking garbage.
Well, I think, that's what I would do. I would pull it off of her if I was booking. I would be like, okay, Rhea, good job, but no, Charlotte's back. We're going to let her carry it for a while.
I don't know, man. Rhea Ripley, as much as I don't like her, she looks, you know, very intimidating up there and shit.
She looks
she's
like
a
man.
Look. She just doesn't, she's got a good look. She just doesn't, she's just a little slow in the ring, and she doesn't do very well on the mic right now. For like,
especially her
it's
matches
not,
with
it, it
Asuka. Her matches with Asuka are trash.
Yeah. She does this thing, like, every time she rings, like, what's the word, like, Irish whip somebody. It's like the little things like that that she's not good at. Like, I feel like, man, I can't critique her. She's a pro fucking wrestler, you know. I'm just a guy who watches the show. But, like, when I watch Rhea wrestle, I'm like, that looks different than it does when other people do it. And so I think it's, like, a bad thing, you know. Like, she does everything slower and just kind of weird because she's so fucking huge.
Yeah. But she's still a fucking garbage champion. So
Rhea Ripley retaining.
Okay, I did. All right, and so the final match so far, we have Roman versus Rey Mysterio. A no-nothing fucking match and a Hell in a Cell match that just came out of nowhere. Came out of nowhere. Build up, I'll tell you the build up. Roman got angry, attacked Rey's son, and that's enough. Roman, it's same shit. Every storyline with Rey Mysterio always has to do with his son getting attacked. Brock Lesnar attacks his son. Rey tries to get revenge. Rey looks like a fucking schmuck. He looks terrible.
Yeah.
So
that's his dad. It's going to keep going because that's the story. And then in the end, the ungrateful fucking bastard looking like a goddamn coy fucking goldfish out there. Dominic Mysterio with his fucking outfit looking like a fucking goldfish. The sorry son of a bitch turns on his dad after all the times his dad saved him.
He can't, though, because I think we're all forgetting a little fact that they're the fucking SmackDown champions, tag champions.
I know.
You're right.
That's what doesn't make sense about this shit. I'm like, how in the fucking blue hell are you going to just all of a sudden take him out of the picture of the title picture? They just put the titles on them. And all of a sudden, you're taking dad out of the picture to get fucking demolished by Roman Reigns. How the fuck does that make sense?
This shit is, and you wonder why I hate the booking of this fucking new run, because it's they're just making shit up as they go for this shit.
How the fuck does that make
sense? What if Rey sweeps him? Rey gets his ass and fucking wins in the Hell in a Cell. He uses his fucking veteran knowledge to outsmart the fucking tribal chief and fucking
no,
wins.
He's not winning. He's not winning.
And
he's not winning. What's going to happen? What's going to happen is the Usos are going to beat them for the tag titles at SummerSlam or Money in the Bank, and that's what's going to happen. So Rey's not fucking winning. Let's not joke ourselves here, all right?
With that said,
it's going to be a bloodbath, dude. Roman's going to beat the shit out of Rey. I think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be a brutal match, and I think Roman's going to beat the dog shit out of him.
Do you think that Roman
is going to win?
Remember when it? Who was it? Was it Orton that beat the shit out of somebody in the ring, just pummeled the shit out of him? Or who was it?
Well,
a few years ago, it was
Orton's head. Brock
yes, there you go. It was Brock Lesnar really that hard. Did it to Orton. Do you think it's going to be one of those types of beatings?
No.
It's going to be just.
You know what it'll be? It'll be a bunch of rubbing his face on the cage and shit, and Rey's wearing a mask, and he'll be like, "Oh, it hurts
probably
my
not
face."
Gonna even do that.
Like,
all he's probably going to do is just hit him with. Rey's just going to hit him with kendo sticks. Probably do some high flying spots, and then Roman's just going to ground and pound him.
Which match do you think they'll end up on top of?
I don't know.
Do you think it'll be like? Because what's the spot with the Hell in a Cell matches that we have with Rey and Roman, and then the other one's Drew and Bobby Lashley?
I think it's Drew and Bobby.
I think they'll be fighting on top of the cell too.
Unless they do the fucking stupid camera angle where Roman drops Rey and they do an above camera angle and they won't show Rey landing on the fucking floor like they did with Dominic.
Yeah.
That was shit.
Guys,
yeah.
We're going to find out what happens right after this fucking station ID, okay? Let's do it.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Welcome back. Fatal 4-Way Radio. Welcome back. I am the resident Hiki.
What the hell?
The Grand Roman Reigns.
That music is pirate. Shut that shit off.
Hey, acknowledge him.
Acknowledging him for fuck.
Acknowledge.
Acknowledge.
No, I'd rather acknowledge his fucking cousins who are better actors than him. I am more invested in his fucking cousins than him. All right.
Acknowledge.
Why are you going to make me do this? Don't you see what you're going to make me do? We were
fucking
family.
Bullshit. Fucking
we're
cousins have more fucking acting skills than this fuck.
Do it, Kenny.
Dude, I love whenever Jimmy Uso's like, I ain't playing no more, cuz. I ain't playing no more. You always
I love it.
Even when we were kids. Even when we
I
were
hated
kids,
this
man.
Shit. I hated this shit when it first started, and now I'm fucking all consumed by it. And I'm just digging it so much, man. I can't fucking believe it.
Why don't you run back to your little brother?
Yeah. He's fucking brutal. He's fucking brutal the way he's taking control.
Nah,
it's like, who stops
Roman's
it?
Roman and Ray will get on top of the cage, too.
I'm not even convinced that The Rock is going to stop
in front of Dominic.
It is.
Oh, my God.
He is going to stop it. Because The Rock's the tribal chief. The real tribal chief.
Kevin, are you with us?
On top of the helmet.
All right.
What the fuck?
So we have... the final match. Put me down for the tribal chief.
Yeah, I already put all of us for Roman, so.
All right. So, do we have any other surprise matches, you think? I wasn't able to find
okay,
anything.
Okay, how about, all right. The Raw tag titles could be in the show.
Well.
The pre-show.
I guess this is the end of the show, guys. Thanks for tuning in and listening to Fatal 4.
What's happening?
Man, I can hear you, Kevin, but you're way in the background, bro.
Tune in next week.
All right.
What?
Maybe a post-show, maybe not, I'm not sure. But I'll talk to the guys and we'll get back to you.
Well, he doesn't hear us, Minister.
Yeah,
he can't
ladies
hear
and
us.
Gentlemen, Kevier West. Yeah, we can't hear him either. It's unfortunate. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Kevier West. Something happened, man.
Yeah.
We
so
went into overtime
saying, like,
and we lost them there, but yeah.
Yeah. So as I was saying, there, an extra match could be the Raw tag titles because they were part of the main event Go Home show, so.
And who's in that?
AJ Styles.
Oh,
AJ
yeah.
AJ Almas versus the Viking Raiders.
Yeah, there definitely has to be something between these guys. So either that's either going to be a pre-show or it's going to be a fucking, you know. What about a grudge match between Cesaro and Rollins? Do you see that happening?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think that's
going
to be added to the main show. So, yeah. All right, so let's do those matches in case. All right, let's definitely do the Seth Rollins versus Cesaro match because that's definitely going to be added to the match. So,
yeah, I think for sure that's going to be added, bro. All
right, so I'll write down our predictions and then you text the predictions to Albert and Kevin and.
Yeah, well, we can just put it in the chat. But let me ask you something, or give us the breakdown.
Breakdown
the build up to the feud. The build up to the feud.
Oh, okay. So, it all started at WrestleMania Backlash. Cesaro
loses clean to Roman, so now he's no longer a contender for this fucking world title, which is bullshit. Everybody else gets fucking rematches for this fucking belt except for Cesaro. Kevin Owens gets fucking 4 rematches. Daniel Bryan gets a rematch. Cesaro's not good enough to get a fucking rematch for this fucking belt. Anyway, Seth Rollins attacks him after the match, and then 2 weeks on SmackDown, the next night on SmackDown, he attacks Cesaro again, brutally beating him, and we haven't seen Cesaro in fucking weeks, so the build-up is not really that good. All we had was Seth Rollins doing terrible promos, being cringe, being terrible, until last week during a Bayley segment, fucking Cesaro returns, attacks Seth Rollins, and that's where we're at right now. So best believe that match is going to happen at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think so.
So for me, I'm putting Cesaro winning.
They're going to have some shit where fucking Seth Rollins attacks Cesaro on Raw or on SmackDown. Cesaro, he's going to leave Cesaro in some kind of fucking, you know, he's going to leave him hurt. Hurt ribs or some shit. And then at the pay-per-view, they're going to fucking, you know, Cesaro is going to be selling the hurt ribs or whatever the fuck, the hurt shoulder, the hurt knee, whatever the hell.
Oh, no, he's
and
healed.
And he's going to end up winning.
Oh, no, he's healed already, so he's fine. So nothing's going to happen.
Put me down for Cesaro.
Yeah. So there you go. I put me and you for Cesaro. I don't know about Kevin, Albert. You just have to text
them
for that.
We'll check with them on the chat.
Last week's SmackDown was the lowest rating again, 1.7. So, yeah, that's where we're at right now, huh? That's where we're at right now in the era, huh?
In there.
not even your fucking tribal chief is raising the ratings no more, motherfuckers. There you go.
There you fucking go.
Christian from Philly.
So, that being said, we have to assume the Raw tag titles will be on the line on the pre-show. So, I'll tell you the build-up to that real quick.
All right.
So, the build-up is nothing. What happened? There is no build-up for this match. What happened was the Viking Raiders won a tag team battle royal to face the Raw tag titles, and that's it. There is no build.
What a bunch of horse shit.
That sums up the whole theme of fucking Hell in a Cell. Builds that fucking mean absolute shit.
And you know, bro, let's go ahead and pick.
I'm picking AJ and Omos.
Yeah, put me down for them too. It's so fucking predictable. And, you know, here's the thing. Remember in the fucking news earlier, I was talking about Hell in a Cell? And the article that I was reading was like, this was the, you know, only the second time and shit. And Hell in a Cell was special. You know, now it's just been bastardized. They bastardized the fucking shit out of it where fucking, you know, it doesn't even fucking matter. Look at this fucking Hell in a Cell match that we're going to have. We're going to have one Hell in a Cell match, really?
We're having
two.
Surely
they got to put in, huh?
It's two. We're having two Hell in a Cell matches.
What's the other one?
Roman versus...
Oh, yeah.
Roman versus
yeah.
Ray and
okay.
Drew versus
but
Bobby.
But even so, dude, I mean... Look at that Roman Reigns, Rey Mysterio feud. Just like that out of the blue. Inside Hell in a Cell. Bastardizing their fucking title run that was supposed to be sacred and special. I mean, it's fucked up, dude.
It's because they have no tag teams. There's no tag teams.
There is no tag division on SmackDown. There's only four tag teams.
Well, then why even fucking have this fucking moment with the Mysterios as champions right now?
I don't fucking know.
I mean, that,
I don't get it either.
Bastardizing their championship reign. What the fuck was it for? Just so they could fucking raise their hands for one fucking show?
Probably, yeah.
So they could get that fucking 3-second clip? I mean, goddamn. Dude, and they want to talk about fucking AEW setting the business back 30 fucking years?
It's awful. It's fucking trash.
I mean, I still watch it because it's customary. But you know what, dude? It was also customary in the fucking 90s, too, when I had to fucking leave and go to WCW when they were kicking their asses for the short time that they did. And, I mean, I'm sure that fucking AEW is putting themselves in position to do the same fucking thing right now, to fucking pounce on fucking WWE.
It's fucking trash.
WWE is fucking just, they have not built up any fucking new stars. Who the fuck are these fucking stars John Cena was talking about? Future stars.
There is no stars. It's all a bunch of horseshit.
Drew McIntyre can't even fucking do a promo to fucking save his fucking life, dude.
His promos are fucking horrible.
Fuck, dude. He needs to be a fucking bad guy and have somebody, even then, have somebody do his talking.
Or just be a good talker as a babyface or a badass babyface.
No, he can't be a badass babyface. Not with those fucking promos.
No. And after that, who is he supposed to face after he loses? There's nobody left. Who is he supposed to feud with after this? Literally nobody.
So this is where we're at, bro.
Yeah.
And that's this weekend, Father's Day. Happy fucking Father's Day, no less.
Yeah. And then I hear that you're going to do a draft. What's the point of a draft? It's still going to be the same bullshit. You could go ahead and keep drafting people left and right. It's still going to be shit.
Yeah.
There's no point.
So this is where we're at, my friend.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else?
No, that's about it. No tag team championships. Possibly the red tag titles will be defended.
And now it's time for Booking 101 with the Philly Lily with the Chili and the Willy, Christian from Philly. How would we have booked this pay-per-view differently?
First of all, I wouldn't have Roman versus Rey Mysterio and a Hell in a Cell match. I would have had Roman versus Jimmy Uso with Jay as the special guest referee in the Hell in a Cell match to see who does Jay really respect and love. See him fucking torment.
Say that again. Say that again.
I'd rather had Roman versus Jimmy with Jay being the special guest referee in a Hell in a Cell match.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Where Jay is conflicted and he has to choose whose side is he on.
Yes.
It's fucking simple. It's not hard. This is basic. It's not hard. And then you have Roman win, of course, because Jay turns on Jimmy.
Man.
I would have Keith Lee return, rip the cell door, and attack Drew McIntyre and cost him the title.
Yeah.
I would have Sasha Banks return, beat up both women, and make it a triple threat match at Money in the Bank for the women's title.
Yeah! Where is Sasha Banks?
I just told you, she's doing a show right now with Star Wars. And for the Raw Women's Championship, I would have Becky Lynch return and fuck both women up so that she could face them in a triple threat match also.
Wow.
Also, I would have the IC title be in the fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah, where the fuck is that title? Who has it?
It's Apollo Crews. And
he's feuding with
Big E and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
So that'll probably be something added.
That might be something added to the show.
Yeah.
A triple threat.
They already did a fatal four way, so that doesn't even matter. So yeah, that's how I would book the pay per view.
Well, all right. Let's go ahead and I think we're probably done with this show. What do you think?
Yeah, we're done here.
All right. You gonna do a show this weekend, Christian?
Probably, yeah.
I would like to hear a show from you this weekend. And who are your guys?
Anyone who's available, either DJ from FLA, Ahmad, or Arcane.
Nice. Maybe even the lobby available. Who knows?
Yeah. But until then, thank you for listening to Fiddle for a Radio. See you this coming weekend. As always, good night, motherfuckers. Peace.
That's right. And you can check out Christian from Philly. This weekend after the pay-per-view on Father's Day. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am Internet Radio's own, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. Peace,
a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.